You are listening to The Taylor Marshall Show, episode 52, the one-year anniversary podcast, with a special featured segment entitled Essentialism. Finding what is essential in your life. Ready to get salty. All right, welcome to this special episode of the Taylor Marshall Show. It's been 1 year, 52 episodes. Can you believe it? I just want to say, turn down for what? We've got another year. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited. I want to thank everyone who's made this year, these first 52 podcasts, so special. Let's get started with this 1 year show.
I guess you could say things are getting pretty serious.
Howdy, and thank you for tuning in to this special episode of the Taylor Marshall Show. This is the podcast for everyone who wants to create daily habits and learn enough theology to take their faith to the next level. And my goal this week is to encourage you to embrace essentialism. Essentialism is the art of disciplining yourself to want less, to use less, and to do less. As they say, less is more. My friend Josh Simmons over at eCatholic turned me on to a book by Greg McEwen titled Essentialism, The Disciplined Pursuit of Less. And as I was reading this book, my first thought was, man, why didn't a Christian write this book already? The idea of essentialism is rooted in our Lord's poverty, the vow of poverty that's honored amongst Christians, amongst Catholics. And even for those of us who don't take a vow of poverty, the lay faithful, we do need to embrace this virtue of simplicity in our life. Now, I don't know Greg McEwen, the author of this book. He may be a Christian, who knows? But this book shows that life is better, it's more joyful, more fruitful with less stuff and doing less things. It may seem like a contradiction, but I'll show you that it's not. The key is doing a few really great things. This is something we've kind of come back over and over the past year in these 52 episodes, and we've seen that multitasking is really the enemy. You can't do hundreds of little things well. So today I'm going to share four conclusions that I've made for myself about becoming a better essentialist. And before we get to that, I just want to share one illustration from the book Essentialism. And if you're interested in the book, I would really encourage you to get it. It's in the link for the show notes to this episode. So if you would go to taylormarshall.com, click on Weekly Podcast, and then click on Episode 52, the one-year anniversary podcast, Episode 52, you'll see the link to the book right there. Well, one of the things that Greg shares in the book is he draws two pictures, two circles, and one circle has 20 arrows coming out of it in all different directions, and those are all like 5% arrows. So 5% times 20 is 100%. So that would symbolize your effort. You're going in 20 different directions, and you're giving 5% to each of those directions. He says, why not instead think of your life or your activity as that circle with one line shooting out of it at 100%? In other words, place all of your attention and your energy into a focused task, as we would say as Catholics, a focused vocation, and then put everything into it. So that's what we're going to talk about today, this art of essentialism. Before this podcast, as I was sketching out the notes, I thought, is this an art of essentialism or is it a science? And I kind of went back and forth on that, and I concluded it's an art. This is an art form. It's not simply a science. It's not simply measuring and weighing things and taking readings. It's actually an art form. It's a skill that you must perfect. Now, as you noticed in our hyped up intro today, this is the 1 year anniversary, 52 episodes. I'm so excited. I could not have done this without you, without your encouragement, your notes, your amazing reviews, and all the kind things you wrote in those 5-star reviews over at iTunes all year. That kind of stuff just keeps me moving along. So thank you so much. And I'm excited about this next year. We've got a lot more ideas, a lot more topics that we want to cover, and I want to hear from you. So please keep all those emails coming, and especially please keep the comments coming beneath every single podcast over at taylormarshall.com. You can leave comments, and I read those, and it's great feedback. For example, in last podcast, I said, you know, I'm thinking about maybe getting rid of the proverb of the week. And, you know, someone said, no, please keep the proverb of the week. I really like it. So that's the kind of feedback. I see that and I think, okay, I do this podcast for y'all, the listeners, and I want to do what you guys get the most of. So we're going to keep on keeping on. And I want to hear from you as we go to these next 52 podcasts, 104. Also, you remember at the beginning of the year, we talked about goals, how we need to formulate goals, set goals, and observe them. And this was one of my big goals for the year, was to rack up 52 podcasts, and I'm so glad we did. If you're a faithful listener to the Taylor Marshall Show, you probably know this already, that there was a week or two, maybe three, that we missed. I think it was only two. Maybe I have to go back and look at the dates, because I was sick and on vacation. So we are a little bit after a year, but theoretically we've done 52 one-week show. So again, thank you so much. I truly do appreciate you. And now I want to put forth a little vote, a little poll just for the reader, or not the readers, the listeners here on the podcast. And I want to know, what has been your favorite episode of the last 52 weeks? What has been the one that spoke to you the most? Now, we went through the archives and we looked at our analytics and our data to find out which episodes are the most popular, which ones have been downloaded the most. And so we were able to figure out which were the 10 most downloaded episodes, and we've put together a survey, and it's over at taylormarshall.com. Click on weekly podcast, taylormarshall.com at the top of the page, weekly podcast, and that will bring you to the podcast archive. And there we have set up for you a survey, and we've listed the 10 most popular episodes, and we'd like for you to vote. We want to hear which ones you like the most, and there is an option there in case the one you like the most this past year didn't make the top 10. If you just want to write in a vote, we've made that possibility as well. But just so you know, the most popular podcasts for the last 52 weeks are as follows, in order of the most downloads. Number one was the podcast Against Bitter Catholics. In this podcast, we talked about how important it is that we as Christians, we as Catholics, do not allow bitterness to enter into our hearts, and that sometimes we deceive ourselves because we Catholics have a doctrine of redemptive suffering. That is, our suffering can be redemptive and actually change the world, right? Make us more holy and make people around us more holy. Therefore, we sometimes confuse ourselves and think of bitterness as somehow sacred or sanctifying. And that's a big mistake that many of us make and that I've made in the past, and I share some of my own failures in that regard. I think that's also the podcast where I talked about our really rough vacation to Colorado and all the illness we had and the suffering we had and some of the more funny and interesting elements as well. I think that was that podcast. Now, the second one was episode number 9, and this one was titled My Opinion of Martin Luther. And in this episode, We talked about how Martin Luther is really the worst example of what it means to be a Christian or an ecumenical Christian. And we compared him to St. Pio, Padre Pio, and how both of them received persecution in the church, but how Martin Luther used it to promote heresy and schism, and St. Pio used this persecution and distress to bring about greater holiness amongst the people of God. The third most popular episode was episode 21, and this one was titled Five Productivity Tips from Thomas Aquinas. And this was one of my favorite episodes of the last year. We looked at how Thomas Aquinas teaches us that human life is focused towards a highest goal and then a subset of goals, and how by looking at our life in a goal-oriented pattern, we can become more productive. And we rooted all of that in the theology of Thomas Aquinas. The fourth most popular episode was, did you miss God's plan for your life? And I think over the past 52 weeks, this is the single most, this podcast was the one that I received the most feedback from, the most emails, phone call, comments, everything. This really hit a lot of hurting people. And I think it was helpful to a lot, and it was helpful for me just to even to think through that show and to create it, because we learned here that even if you missed God's plan for your life, God is so powerful and so wonderful. He can always create new plans, and he can even bring you ahead or even further along the path of holiness than you previously thought before. You'll remember that analogy that God can, you can move along in a car, or God can just show up with a fighter jet and just move you along the path of sanctity so fast if you just trust him and love him. Episode 15 was Total Consecration to Mary, which is what it sounds like. The next one was episode 3, Tips to Deep Daily Prayer. Deep Daily Prayer. The next most important episode was The Painless Birth of Christ on Christmas. That was a new St. Thomas Institute episode that we shared and made available for free on this podcast. Also, there was episode 7, The Theology of the Guardian Angels. And we talked about, of course, the controversial topic that I've talked about in the blog and elsewhere, how we are not supposed to name our guardian angel. And then number 9 was 7 lies we believe about our failures. And we looked at what failure looks like, what it feels like, and then the lies we tell ourselves and deceive ourselves regarding those failures and how they really inhibit us from growing in holiness and righteousness. And then number 10 is a more recent episode. It's the 4 sections of hell. So those are the top 10 episodes of the last year. If you would, please go to taylormarshall.com, click on weekly podcast, and take this survey. Just go in there, click on the episode that you thought was your favorite of the year, or write one in and hit enter, and we'll reveal the results of this vote in either the next podcast or the one after that. We'll give at least a week or week and a half for everybody to listen to this podcast before we close it up. So there it is. Please take the vote. Head on over to taylormarshall.com, click on weekly podcast, and get started. Okay, well, let's get going with our proverb of the week and then our featured segment. Well, our proverb of the week comes from Proverbs chapter 11, verse 3, and it reads like this, quote, "The simplicity of the just shall guide them, and the deceitfulness of the wicked shall destroy them," end quote. So again, we have a Hebrew parallel structure here. The first half reads, "The simplicity of the just shall guide them." The second half is the parallel, "The deceitfulness of the wicked shall destroy them." So we, of course, want to be guided in the right way. And here we learn in Proverbs that simplicity shall guide us. Simplicity is our guide. So imagine that you're about to hike for 2 weeks in the Rocky Mountains. You need a guide. Otherwise, you're going to get lost. You're not going to know where to get water, food, maybe firewood. If you're hunting for your survival, where to find and how to hunt these animals. You need a guide. You're not ready just to jump out into the mountains and live like a pioneer for 2 weeks. Someone has to lead you or guide you. That's the same way in this life on a spiritual level. And what is our guide? Well, according to Proverbs, our guide is simplicity. Simplicity. And I think simplicity or simplicitas was a Latin word of the week in a previous episode. I can't remember, and I didn't go back and check. But it means literally in Latin, and don't worry, we'll have another Latin word of the week at the end of this show. But simplicity literally means one fold. So if you took a piece of fabric and you just put one fold in it, that is simplicity, simplicitas. So our life should be one fold. It shouldn't be looking, it should not be like origami with hundreds and little folds here and little folds there. It should be simple. One fold. And what is that one fold in your life? It's God. It's the Trinity. It's the indwelling of Christ in your heart. That is the simplicity of your life. Everything comes back to that. You know, just yesterday, or was it the day before, I was feeling a little bit discouraged. Yes, I get discouraged. Sometimes I feel like I'm losing my way. You know, coming up on 1 year on the podcast, I've been thinking a lot about it, how to make it better. Should I change it? Should I keep it the same? Thinking about new things in the next year with the new St. Thomas Institute, thinking about new book projects, thinking about the new novel about St. George, which is coming out here in another couple months. Just, there's so many new horizons that are happening. And I told Joy something that I learned from listening to Michael Hyatt's podcast. When you lose your why, you lose your way. When you lose your why, you lose your way. And I was thinking to myself, well, what is my why? Why am I doing these things? What is it? I've got to find what it is. And so last night, as I was reading the manuscript for the St. George novel, I was moved at a certain point, and in my headphones, I had playing the soundtrack from The Passion of the Christ, and it got to the music, got to the point in the movie, which is the scene of Christ on the cross when he yells out Abba. It's a very moving part there in the music. And I just kind of teared up and I said, Lord, what is my why? Help me to find my why again so I can find my way again. And I think it's wrapped up in this verse here in Proverbs, simplicity. I need to find simplicity. Too many projects, you know, and to add to all those I mentioned before, the troops of St. George, there's so many projects. I need to reduce. I need to simplify. That doesn't necessarily mean giving up on them or trashing them or anything like that. It just means refocusing and reapproaching them in a simple way. Sometimes we can complicate things that are very simple. So we come back to this simplicity. And as we're going to talk about here in the featured segment, essentialism is just another way of saying simplicity. When you're simple, you follow what is essential. When you're an essentialist, you try to simplify your life. So that makes a great little dovetail into our featured segment. So let's just jump right into it. So I talked about this book, Essentialism, and I'll have Julian put the link in the show notes. I now encourage you to get it. I'd love to hear your thoughts as you read it, if you think it's something that is helpful to Christians who are trying to simplify their life and really do what matters the most. So I boiled down what I've read in the book to 4 points that I'm trying to apply to my own life in a daily way, just really in these last few days. And I thought, hey, I was just going to kind of do a 52-week anniversary show. I might as well put some meat on it and talk about something that's been on my heart lately. So what are these four things, these four elements of being an essentialist? Well, I think I've already explained what essentialism means in the introduction to this podcast. So let's get down to the application. So the first one, this is not mentioned in the book, so you won't find it anywhere in the book. But I've come to see, especially in the last 7-8 days, the importance of mental prayer, meditation, to balance out the options for the day. Every day, there are two or three or a dozen, 100, maybe even 1,000 people. Actually, I'm going to say there are 1,000 people every day who are competing for your attention. Now, you may say to me, well, Taylor, I don't know 1,000 people. I don't even talk to 1,000 people every day. But if you have what's called a computer with a Wi-Fi connection, or you have a smartphone in your pocket, there are thousands, if not millions of people right there competing for your attention. If you're on Facebook, right away there are hundreds, if not thousands of people competing for your attention, your time, and your energy. So what we have to do every day is go into our closet, close the door, maybe not a physical closet, but even some small, quiet place, filter out the world to the best of our ability. It's not always perfect every time. And pray and move out all the distractions. And if you can, even all the sensory data to the best of your ability, and be in the presence of God. Because remember, to be simple is to have that one fold in your life. That is God. And then to order all things towards that one fold, that simplicity in your life. Now, if you don't do this, if you don't check in with the boss, that is, with God, if you don't lay yourself before Him, things are going to get hectic really quick. And I can attest to this. There are days sometimes when I don't do or I cut short my meditation. And those are the days in which I get off to a bad start. I just know it. As I look past the day, I said, I did it again. That's why I'm off map. We must come before God. He loves us. He's merciful. And this is really going to encourage you. He has a plan for your life. And He wants to communicate that plan to you. So we must come before Him, be still, and know that He is God. Become still, feel His presence, and know He is God. And I really can't explain how this works. You have to just experience yourself. But when you go into the presence of God, He does communicate things to you. He does give you light. He does open your spiritual eyes to see what's most important. He just does. I can't explain it. It's not obvious to me, but I can tell you from my own experience that when you meditate, when you pray, and I'm not talking about just reciting in Our Father. That's great. You should do that as well. I'm talking about laying your heart before God and completely quieting your mind to your best of ability. Quiet your mind, be still, and know He is God. So that's the first thing. Not something in the book, but I think it's essential to being an essentialist. You have to be in the presence of the divine essence, God Himself. He who says, I am who I am. He is the ground of being. He is essentia. If we're going to be essentialists in this life, we must be connected to Him who is the divine essence. Okay, number two is the importance of a checklist. Have you ever noticed that when it comes to really important things like flying an airplane, there are required checklists? The reason is our minds get sloppy. Our minds are like a cheap 1990s computer. There's not a lot of RAM there, and there's not a lot of hard drive space. We forget things all the time, and once our gears get spinning, we sometimes overemphasize things or underemphasize things, and our perception of reality gets foggy. So what we need is a little piece of paper and a pencil or a pen. And I've over and over in this podcast, I think even on the first episode, the tip of the week, I think this is right. I haven't listened to it in a while, but the first episode, I believe the tip of the week was to get yourself the Moleskine little book. It's a little black book. It has blank pages inside that are lined. And every single day, you write down the two or three critical tasks, or we might call essential tasks, in there, and you make sure that those get done every day. And if you do those things, it's a successful day. Well, I've also seen that those lists can get crowded, plugged up, and that just makes you stressful. So they've got to be kept to just two or three. Now, obviously, life is not always that simple. And simple, did I say sinful? Sorry about that. Not always that simple. And in order to do these great, big, wonderful tasks that God's calling us to do, or even these little important tasks that have to be done, like caring for a child, it requires smaller steps like making food, changing diapers, giving a bath. If it's your job, it may involve typing a report, making a phone call, attending a meeting that doesn't even seem that important to you, but it's necessary for your job. In my own life, for example, writing a book. You can't just say, today I'm going to do the big thing. I'm going to write the book. No, there are little bitty elements that have to be broken into a checklist. For example, write 2 hours every day. Contact the editor. Get the graphic art done for the cover. Approve the graphic art. So on and so forth, right? There are little bitty items. And I myself amplify those little items and I get stressed out, which gets me discouraged. So it's important that I write out a little checklist. And as I'm moving along, I'm checking the checklist and I'm having this sense of progress. And the items are actually getting done. They're getting finished, which has moved me towards this bigger project. And it could be as simple as, you know, if you're a housewife, making a checklist of what you need to go to the grocery store. That's a checklist. And then to prepare a meal, a checklist. Now, some of these things, you don't have to have hundreds of little checklists all around, but I think going grocery shopping or shopping for your family or whatever it is, you need a checklist. Otherwise, you know, someone's going to call you on the cell phone or you're going to see someone at the grocery store you know and talk for a while. And like I said, our minds are like a cheap 1990s computer. It doesn't have the RAM and the hard drive that it needs, so we need to have these little lists, these checklists, these procedure lists. So that's the second one. The third one is the purposefully denial of tasks. You must on purpose deny tasks, even important and good tasks. Sometimes you have to say no, because they will compete with these more important, essential tasks. I think, and I've said it so many times in this podcast, the cell phone and the iPad, both of which I have and use, have caused us to be so distracted that I'm actually rethinking the whole concept. And as you'll see in the later in the show, this week's tip of the week is going to relate to your smartphone. And if you follow me on Twitter, you probably already know what I'm going to say because I tweeted it out a couple days ago. We become so distracted, and because of the ease of communication through phones, texts, Facebook, messaging, blogs, all of that, we are asked to do more than we can do. You are asked now, because of technology and Facebook and texts and all that, you are now asked to give more money to more causes than ever before in human history. You have more opportunities and more requests to volunteer and do great things for the pro-life community, for convents, for nuns, for orphans, for food drives, for political causes. All of that is now confronting you every single day through these little screens that we look at. It used to be that in order to be asked to do the PTA, someone had to actually walk up and ask you. Now you're going to get an automated email, or someone's going to send you an automated text, or you're going to be called. It used to be you would get called at your house, and if you weren't there, no one picked it up. Then we invented answering machines so you could listen to the message. Now we have voicemail, and we even have the phone in our pocket 24/7, 365 days a year. This means you're being solicited. Did I say that correctly? Yeah, solicited. You're being solicited all the time, much more than any other human in the history of mankind. In the past 10 years, thanks to Steve Jobs, we're getting hit up all the time through these smart devices. It's important for us just to stop and recognize that and say, you know, this is true. I didn't even realize it. I'm getting hit up to do and to give so much, even more than what people experienced maybe even 5 years ago. It's just in our face. Unless you're a hermit or a Trappist, and you're probably not listening to this podcast anyway because of your circumstances, you are being bombarded with requests. So what you need to do is practice the art of saying no, and then fencing and protecting and guarding your attention and your tasks. And if you do that little list in your little black Moleskine book every day, you're going to start feeling, so you'll write your two or three things down. Throughout the day, you're going to feel four or five urgencies pressing upon you, usually from other people. And you're going to want to say, yes, I will do those things. My things on the list, the essential elements, can wait till tomorrow because they're such a big deal. I want to challenge you not to think that way. I want to challenge you to look at the essential things and tell the four to eight urgencies throughout the day, you can wait. It's not that important. The important things are the essential ones that I've discovered and discerned through prayer, that I've prudently thought about, and that I've put down on this piece of paper, and I'm going to stick to that. All right, the fourth, and this is in the book Essentialism. It's the importance of reducing mental and physical clutter. He has this great analogy in the book. Again, the book is called Essentialism by Greg McEwen. And I hope I'm saying it right. I don't know if McEwen's the right pronunciation. Forgive me if I'm wrong. He says, think about your closet. Your closet gets cluttered. You know, there's, you know, the shoes build up over the years. Maybe you store things up high in your closet. You know, over time, you're like, why do I have two or three winter jackets? How did that happen? But, you know, someone gave you one for Christmas, and then you bought one while you're skiing, and then you have your old one. And there's accumulation in the closet. My closet is a little bit out of control right now. Fortunately, my daughters helped me clean it up a week or so ago, but it was getting out of control. Well, that's how our lives are. And if we're not vigilant, our lives are like a closet and they get cluttered. And there's more and more things in there. And you're thinking, how did I get involved with all of these things? I can't even find the pair of pants I want to wear to church on Sunday because there's all this other stuff in here. What I need, what is essential, I can't find, I can't discern. It's not reachable. I can't just get it and put it on because there's so much stuff. Now, the author goes on to say, now that there is social media and electronic devices, we actually have people sneaking into our closet and putting more clothes, more shoes, more socks, more storage, more photo albums into the closet, and it's getting out of control in a much faster way. So what do we do? Well, we have to periodically clean out the clutter in the closet. So you need to put a check on yourself. Maybe it's the first of every month. Maybe it's every quarter. Every year is probably not enough. It needs to be more frequent. Every day, probably too much. Just as we go through our closet and clean it out. And by the way, you know when you clean out your closet and it's all organized and your shoes are all lined up? And all, don't you feel good? And when you get dressed the next day, you open your closet and, oh man, look at this closet. This is great. That's the same feeling you're going to have for your life, but multiply it by 100. Suddenly, everything is in reach. Suddenly, things are in order. But I'm going to make you a promise. It's not going to stay that way. Just like your closet never stays organized, it's going to begin to become messy and cluttered. That's how your life is going to be until you die and go to be with Jesus. Hopefully, you bypass purgatory. But your days on earth, there's always going to be a move towards clutter and mess, and therefore you're vigilant and you clean it up. You throw out what you're not wearing, you throw out what you don't use, or rather you give it to charity or give it to Goodwill or something like that. Give it to those in need. And then find what's essential and wear what's essential and be what's essential, and you will be more full of joy and you'll be more effective And to extend the allegory, you'll be better dressed for life. So those are the four key elements, the four important things I've taken from this essentialist philosophy. Number one, the importance every day of your meditation, being in the presence of God. Number two, the importance of your checklist. Number three, the importance of saying no, even to good things. And number four, the importance of removing the mental and physical clutter from your closet, the closet of your life. There it is. Okay, before we move on here to the tip of the week, which relates, of course, to this essentialist philosophy, I just want to announce that the new book, St. Augustine in 50 Pages, is just about done, and I'm hoping it will be ready for the Feast of St. Michael on September 29th. So please check in and look for it there. I'm really excited to hear what you guys think about it. It's a free book, just like the book Thomas Aquinas in 50 Pages, which is available now. Thomas Aquinas in 50 Pages, by the way, will not be available for free for much longer. So if you want a copy of it, go to taylormarshall.com and download it there. Just put in your email and we'll send you the downloaded version of it. And you can enjoy, learn about Thomas Aquinas. And in this next book, learn about St. Augustine. And I will say I'm a little excited about the St. Augustine book because I talk about some gritty things in here. We talk about predestination. We talk about original sin. Augustine has a lot of things to say about sex. And I have kind of a section in there, Augustine's Theology of the Body. And it's a little bit shocking. You're going to be challenged by it, but I think it's good stuff. So look for it coming soon, St. Augustine in 50 Pages. I also want to say I'd love for you to join me in a pilgrimage that I'm leading to the Holy Land, to Jerusalem. It's February 1st to February 11th. We're going to all the great sites, and you can learn more about it by going to pilgrimages.com/Taylor Marshall. And please tell your friends, and if you're not in already, we will be opening up a limited number of spots to the new St. Thomas Institute where you can study theology, take classes, and earn a certificate in theology. It's the new St. Thomas Institute where I teach classes in a video format and audio format. We will be opening up more spots in October. To learn more, go to newstthomas.com. There is a waiting list. You can join it at newstthomas.com. Okay, tip of the week. I read this tip of the week on Lifehacker, maybe 5 or 6 days ago. And it was about a man who was possessed by his iPhone. And so he decided to delete almost all the apps on his iPhone so that even the front screen wasn't even full of apps. You know, I think he had 4 or 5 apps, and he was primarily using his phone as, guess what, a phone. And I read the article, and then he eventually convinced his wife to do the same thing. He talked about how his quality of life increased. I was fascinated by this, and I got my iPhone out and started thumbing through and looking at all the apps, and I was immediately just ashamed. Like, man, I have way too many apps. I think I had 4 screens, maybe 5 screens, full of apps. Now, I want to kind of defend myself and say, oh, there's a lot of Catholic apps, a lot of prayer apps, so on and so forth. But I looked at it, and I go, this is out of control. To use the analogy of the closet, my iPhone closet is just full of a lot of stuff that's just junk. So I was ruthless. I went through my iPhone after reading that article, and if I hadn't used an app in over 2 weeks, it just was deleted immediately. I just got rid of it. There were a lot of them there that I didn't want to go. For example, my pollen app. You know, it tells me what the pollen count is for the day, and I can check that. If I start to sneeze or have runny eyes, I check my pollen app. But I was like, you know, I don't need this. This is a distraction. So I deleted it. I deleted all kinds of apps until finally I now have basically just one screen of apps. I went and got rid of Facebook, Twitter, all the social media stuff. I trashed it. I got rid of it. You know, these are the kind of things when I'm waiting for something or I'm in an elevator, I pull out and I check. And I said, you know, I don't need that. You know, maybe I just need to talk to the person in the elevator instead of sitting at a red light and pulling out the phone and looking what someone said on Twitter or whatever, maybe I just need to be quiet. So I've deleted these apps, and I've been several days on this plan, and I really love it. Honestly, I don't miss the apps, and I spend a lot less time doing piddly, stupid things. It's a great application of this essentialist principle to declutter your closet. Go ahead and start today after you finish this podcast, or maybe while you're listening it, unless you're driving. If you're not driving, while you're listening to this podcast, why don't you pull out your smartphone, your Android, your iPhone, whatever it is, and then look through and say, if I haven't used an app in 2 weeks, it's trashed. It's gone. No matter how much I like it, no matter how much I paid for it, it's gone. It's out of my closet. It's out of my space, and it's going to free you up, and I think it's going to cause a little less stress in your life. Well, thanks so much for listening to episode 52. We do have the Latin word of the week and a little quote here from St. Augustine. But before we get to the Latin word of the week, I want to ask you to subscribe to this podcast. To do so, go to Taylor Marshall Show in iTunes. So go into iTunes, search Taylor Marshall Show, and hit the subscribe button. It's free, and you'll get this podcast every single Wednesday. I'd also like to ask you a one-year favor. Since we're at 52 weeks, one full year of this podcast, if you've benefited from this podcast in any way in the last 52 weeks, if there's any of the shows that have spoken to your heart, that have helped you at work, with your family, at church and the liturgy, in any way, I would really ask you to do a favor for me, and that would be to rate this podcast. Please rate this podcast. When you rate the podcast, you show your support for the show, and it raises the status of the show within the iTunes search system. So people find this show more readily when there are more ratings made of the Taylor Marshall Show. So in order to do this, you need to go to iTunes. This whole process takes about 45 seconds. Go to iTunes, search Taylor Marshall Show, it'll pop up, and then leave a rating. You can leave a 1-star to 5-star review, and then please say something nice. I would really, 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 really appreciate it, because this is episode 52. So if you like, if you've enjoyed it all the past year, please leave a rating. Okay, Latin word of the week. Latin word of the week is essentia. Essentia, which means essence. Now, it's an interesting word because it's not necessarily an ancient Latin word. And St. Augustine, in his City of God, Book 12, he talks about this word, and he says this, quote, "Essentia is a new word, indeed, which was not used in Latin speech of old, but which has come into use in our day so that our language should not lack a word for which the Greeks call ousia. For this expressed very exactly, be essentia." So Augustine recognizes that essentia is kind of a new word in his time, and it's invented to correspond with the Greek term ousia. And you'll know that that's the term that we use in the Nicene Creed when we say that Christ is consubstantial with the Father. He is homoousias with the Father. So there it is, essentia. And it refers to what a thing is. What is its essence? What is the essence of a dog, of an oak tree, of a human, of a star, of an angel? This is its essence, its whatness, what it is. So Latin word of the week, essentia. Next time you're at a cocktail party, you can say, you know, essentia is a relatively late Latin word, as St. Augustine teaches in his book, The City of God. Well, thanks for listening this week. Thanks for being a supporter to this podcast for these last 52 episodes. And here's to 52 more episodes of the show. And till next time, remember, our Lord Jesus Christ said that you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So go out there and be salty. Man, that's just so epic. I should do the whole podcast with that voice effect. You know what I mean?
Ready to get salty.